All right, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I enjoyed that message this morning. And then if you missed Wednesday night, I've read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John through the years. I don't know how many times. And Brother Lawson pointed out something I had never seen before and made notes on it. And you won't go anywhere and hear any better preaching or teaching. I'm telling you, and I appreciate it. Open your Bible tonight to the 8th Psalm. Psalms 8, and how many would rather be here tonight in Knox County Jail? Let me see. You know, I said that one night at a revival years ago, and this feller stood up and said, "Just got out yesterday, preacher." And I think he was being serious, you know, and didn't really know how to respond. I said, "Well, it's good to have you, brother." Psalms 8, I'm going to read verse 1 through verse number 4. Bring the thought the Lord has laid on our heart tonight. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. I want you to draw close attention now to verse 3 and verse number 4. That's very familiar reading. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. I like that word that the psalmist uses. He ordained it. He put his hands upon his creation. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? My Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time of study, time of prayer, the time of preparation. My Father, unless you anoint me tonight, I'll do nothing but give 3 points and a close and bore these dear folks to tears. It takes the Holy Spirit of God. And I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me tonight. This message is laid so heavy and so sweet upon my heart. And I pray you'd hold back the force of hell and let me, just for a little while, have the liberty to deliver my soul. And for anyone that's helped, I'll give you all the glory and the praise for it, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. God bless your heart. You can be seated. Verse number 3, your Bible said in the 8th Psalm, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained." You'll find the same thing almost in Psalms 33:6 this way. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made," and boy, this is important right here, "and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Verse number 4 that we read says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" It says this way in Psalms 144 verse 3, "Lord, what is man that thou taketh knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou maketh account of him?" My, what a question. My. The Psalms in the Bible was the prayer and praise book of Israel. Historically written for Israel, but there is a spiritual application to believers living in the church age. Because the Psalms show forth the mind of God. And it shows the drawing of God. How that God is drawn to those that's hurting, those that's sick, those that's going through bad times. And so there's a tremendous spiritual application in the book of Psalms. Matter of fact, there's so many references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms. So I picture David sitting maybe beside a stream, as you find him in the 42nd Psalm. And he's looking up on a moonlit night, and he sees the moon and all the stars. And possibly, in my mind, I'm thinking that maybe David looks down in this stream, maybe sitting by one of the pools, the Pool of Siloam in the city of David. Maybe he's sitting there on a moonlit, and I picture him somehow looking at all of this, God's handiwork, and then maybe seeing his own reflection in the water, And it causes him to search his heart. And he says, my, my. And looking at all the handiwork of God, what in the world is man that you would be mindful of a man? What is a mere speck of dust among all of this that you would be mindful? Now, let's put this thing in perspective. David is sitting on an earth that's nearly 200 million square miles. The moon that he's looking at is 230,000 miles away. And a little small cluster of stars that David sees is just a mere token of over 400 billion that's in the Milky Way. And I'm sure David thought about Genesis 1:16, where the Lord talks about making the sun and the moon, and as a postscript, he made the stars also. My, isn't that something? What kind of God is that? Oh, and by the way, not only did he make the sun and the moon, he made the stars also. Now, what I read a few minutes ago, it said by his breath, he created creation by the word of his mouth, but then he breathed out the host. Whoo! Man, I got to looking at that. You know what that's saying? That he merely breathed out the stars. We're talking about the star breather tonight. Does that not just absolutely amaze you? That the star breather takes notice of a little tiny speck of dust. No wonder David was mesmerized. But keep this in mind. His attention is not on the sun, the moon, and the stars. Whoo! His attention is on a lump of clay in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. That's where he puts his attention. Not on the creation, but on the creature. When he took a little mound of clay and he formed it and fashioned it, then he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. My, his attention, his emphasis throughout this Bible is not on the creation, it's on the creature. It's on the man that he made in his own likeness, his own image, and he breathed life into his nostrils. My, the star breather. Man, don't that just absolutely blow your mind? Friday morning, early Friday morning, when most decent folks had high sense, was in bed asleep, I was sitting in a deer blind down on Vivian and Dale's farm, Miss Vivian, and it was dark. Normally it would be pitch dark, but then that harvest moon was out, that super moon. I'm sitting there in a total, what should be total darkness, and it was like a spotlight was on. My goodness, I walked in the woods without a flashlight. And I sat there, and I got to looking at that, and I thought, oh, my goodness. My goodness. The hand that created that right there can hear me when I'm praying in the dark in this deer blind? My, I'm telling you, it literally raised a hair on my arms to know that the star breather hears my little prayer when I pray. Boy, I'm telling you, man, if that won't crank your tractor, your battery's dead. That's how big our God is, the star breather. Whoo! Is concerned with what bothers you. Man, I want to say this because of something happened a couple of weeks ago. Teenagers, listen to me. The star breather is concerned with you. The problems you go through, all the peer pressure you're under, and I want to apologize to you. I want to apologize for what my generation and the generation after me handed down to you. Amen. What we done, we put you in a pressure cooker and said, now make some decisions. I want you to know something. I sat not too awful long ago with a teenager. Are you listening to me? With a teenager that was ready to check out. Was ready to just end it all. And I said, why Her first response was, "Preacher, nobody's real." Ain't that something, brother? And I said, "What else?" She said, "Nobody cares." And she said, "You only have friends if you can do something for them. When you can no longer do anything for them, they're not your friend anymore." Now you keep this in mind. I'm setting this little girl across from me, and the whole time she's talking, I'm saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me," because everything she's saying is true. It's true. She said, "Nobody's real." And she said, "The pressure, I'm judged for how I dress. I'm judged for how I look." And she said, "It's just not worth it. I see no need to keep going." And I said, "Can I tell you about somebody that does? I know what you're going to do. You're a preacher. I expect that." And I said, no, we're going to go a step farther. I said, "Do you realize that the one that spoke this world into existence, I said, do you realize the one that formed the moon and the star, he breathed out the stars. I said, do you realize that the one that created Betelgeuse, that's in Orion, the constellation of Orion, is a star that's over 600 million square miles. Do you know that that God is mindful of what you're going through? He's mindful." And she smiled. She said, "You really believe that, don't you, preacher?" I said, "I've staked my life on it." Whew. She said, "How can I really know for sure?" And I said, "Ask him. Call on him right now. What have you got to lose? Everybody else has let you down. You don't, you've got nothing to lose. You're at the end. Call on him." And she bowed her head and she started talking to the Lord. I don't mean a sanctimonious prayer. This little girl's ready to end it all. And boy, she starts talking to him right out of her heart. And the whole time I'm saying, "Lord, star breather, look down on this little girl. Give her a reason to live. Give her a reason to keep going." Oh, my. Boy, I tell you, I could tell her prayer, her talking, it changed a little bit. And then it got kind of broken up because there was tears coming out of her eyes. She'd already told me she'd been saved. She told me she was saved as a young little girl. She got through and she looked at me and I said, "You done business with the star breather, didn't you?" She said, I felt his presence." I said, "Sweetheart, there's nothing any better than that. Amen. You felt his presence. He's got something for you. Yeah, he's got something for you in this life." And before we left there, we was hugging and squalling, and she was excited about going to school the next day. Wow! How can you explain that, preacher? How can you explain to me that he just spit the planets out in space? Breathe the stars out into the solar system. Yet he's big enough God to hear a little speck of dust when I crawl in the closet and I start calling on his name. Boy, if I don't raise a hair on your arms, ain't something bad wrong with you. You need a good dose of something. My, the star breather. And then, you know what he said? John 13, the Lord, the star breather, said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you save the ozone layer." Did I miss that? If you save the whales. If you'll protect them redwood trees in California. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." Amen. Amen. The Bible said love, charity, or love covers a multitude of sins. My, if he can love us, he commands us to love him. You know how the Lord works? Can I tell, man, you might as well say, "Yeah, go ahead and preach," because I'm going to tell you anyway. Let me show you how the Lord taught this preacher a lesson. I started out, when the Lord called me to preach, I didn't know nothing, man. I didn't know the books of the Bible. But I knew he called me to preach. And I said, he called me to preach. I'm going to preach. I'm not going to wait for somebody to call me. So I started going to the rescue mission. Brother, you was right up there. Your preacher right there. He stood up at the rescue mission and preached. I started going to the rescue meet with Preacher Lawson and my dad. And boy, I tell you, you had to want to preach. You say, I'm not sure the Lord's called me. I'll tell you how to find out real quick. I can tell you some places to go preach, and you'll find out real quick whether or not the Lord's called you. And so I remember going up there, and I went up there with my dad on a Tuesday night, and I was excited because I was going to get to preach at a church on Sunday. So I went up there with Dad. Same thing. Now, lots changed since way back then. It's more organized. The facility's a lot nicer and cleaner. But it was rough business back then, man. I'm telling you, it was rough. And I remember you'd preach, and men would sit there in old tattered clothes. The smell of feces and urine was so strong, you learned not to ever breathe through your nose. And you'd preach to them. Give an invitation, and four or five of them would always come. Now, I was going to be preaching on Sunday. See, so I'm getting one of them attaboys from the Lord. I'm at the rescue mission on Tuesday night. See, here's the thing. The Lord knows your motive. I gave out 400 tracts last week, preacher. Well, that's wonderful. You just told me your motive. Amen. If it's for the praise of man, it's worth nothing. Amen. But in my heart, I knew it. I wanted to dot every I and cross every T because I had to preach at a church on Sunday. And so this fellow came, and Brother Sam, I'd pray with him. Dad prayed with him. Brother Lawson's prayed with him. But I'd only get so close. You know what I'm saying? I'd only get so close because I'm telling you, man, they stunk. Most of them didn't have shoes. Some of them didn't even have socks. They slept in these clothes for only the Lord knows how long. And why have you come, sir? And sometimes I pray for my mama. Okay, look, man, okay, that's good. We pray for your mama. But you listen, you're in need of prayer. And sometimes you can get through to them. Sometimes you just prayed with them. But this night, that many years ago, and it's a lesson I've never forgot. This fella came and he knelt down. And I got at a distance and was going to have prayer with him. Buddy, I heard that still, small voice, if I've ever heard it in my life, that said, "Do you love me, son?" I said, "Well, of course I love you, Lord. I'm up here at the rescue mission on Tuesday night." "What kind of question is that?" He said, "Do you love me?" I said, "Yes, I love you." He said, "Love him." Did you hear what I said? He said, "Do you love me?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Love him. He's why I came. I didn't come for the sun, moon, and stars. I came for him. I came for that lost soul that needs help." Boy, I'm telling you what, if I ever heard his voice and learned a lesson, it was that night. Man, I crawled all over him. I hugged him like he was my grandfather. I mean, I got right down in his face, man. Seen those old hollow eyes that whiskey and alcohol had burned out. But he had enough consciousness in his brain. He said, "I need help, preacher. I need help." And I said, "I know somebody that can help you. I know somebody that can help you tonight." Had prayer with him. Said he got saved. Who am I to judge? They used to say, "Well, I don't know about that jailhouse religion." I said, "Really? It was a jailbird that wrote 13 books of your Old Testament." Yeah, right. Amen. Amen. "Well, I don't know how many of them really get saved." Oh, God bless your little heart. I believe with all my heart that man got born again. I do, man. I've never got that close to him before. What, because you think you're better? No, not that at all. Only by the grace of God, that would have been me. It's because if you went, you understood. It was hard to accept the smell. I'm telling you, it's overwhelming. And that very night, my dad knew something happened to me. He never seen me arm wrestle one of them, roll around in the front with him in a headlock and praying with him. And we got ready to leave, and my dad said, "You ever walk through the alley back to where we park?" And I said, "Do what?" I thought to myself, man, it's scary enough going back in the dark where we're parking now. He said, "We're going through the alley tonight." I said, "Okay." I never forget it. And we walked through the alley up there from the rescue mission and made a loop around where we parked. Boy, you talking about what an eye-opening experience it was, man. They was men lining both sides of that little alley. Young men, old men, sharing the same cigarette. Drinking from a little brown poke. If you're country, you know that means bag, right? And I noticed that night, I seen empty bottles of rubbing alcohol littered in that alley. And I asked my dad, I said, "What's the deal with the rubbing alcohol?" He said, "They can get that alcohol for about 60 cents. It's rubbing alcohol, but they drink it because they're alcoholics." But I seen something that night that I'd never seen before. Instead of seeing a bunch of shells where men once lived, what I saw was Psalms 8. What I saw was somebody that the star breather is mindful of. My, my, my. Aren't you glad he was mindful of you? Do you know tonight when you go home and you get in your prayer closet, just a little insignificant speck of dust in this huge universe, that the star breather gives ear to your prayer? That's just about more than I can handle. I'm telling you, I have a hard time with that one, but I believe it. I don't know if you remember this or not, Sean. I wasn't going to mention it. But many, many years ago, me and you, we were deer hunting. I know, we're horrible, man. But we eat the meat. And we was probably 300 yards away at least. And it's still dark. Early that morning, still dark. And I'm telling you, when the sun started to come up, it left a glow. And you remember that? And a picture that my heart couldn't contain. And I was sitting there, and my heart was pounding about out of my chest. And I felt the presence of the Holy One. Man, come down on me, sitting 20 foot in a tree. That's dangerous. To the point where I thought, man, I hope no deer messes me up, because I sure can't shoot. And I was just taking that in. And I thought, Lord, that was just for me. Sean McDaniel sent me a text. You turn your phone off in the tree stand because you don't want it to ring and it just vibrates. He sent me a text and he said, "Are you seeing this?" You remember that? My goodness. I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "The Lord done that for me." And I said, "No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He done it for me." Boy, I'm telling you, for about an hour, we was messed up bad, wasn't we? I've never in all of my days seen anything like that. And then I thought, the one that just brought that sun up like that lives in my heart. The same one hears me when I pray. Then he says, "You love me?" And I said, "Oh, are you kidding me, Lord? You asked me if I love you? Yes, I love you." He said, "Then love them." Amen. You say you love the Lord and you can't love your brother, you got a problem. You got a problem. Well, preacher, you know, my brother's got too many problems. Well, what about you? Evidently, you don't have any. The Lord loved you, didn't he? Amen. That's the gauge for how much you love the Lord, is how much you love his people. Amen. Now, I'm going to say a few things here. And men, you listen carefully what I'm about to say. But if you're wise, you won't say amen. Trust me. And you won't make any kind of facial expression at all. You'll just listen. Don't even nod your little head. Just listen. Many years ago, a very dear pastor of mine called me. And he said, "Brother Barry," he said, "our church is getting ready to go on a marriage retreat. And he said, the Lord laid you and Shannon on my heart. And we joked around. I said, it was last week I hit her. I mean, we're good this week. And he knows me, and he just laughed. And he said, I'd like for you and Shannon to go with our church on a marriage retreat. And I said, well, brother, let me talk Shannon. And we went. Didn't know hardly anybody. It's one of the most spiritual things I've ever been a part of in my entire life, because it was Bible-based from start to finish. And I got such a burden to do that at the church I was pastoring. They may be people sitting here right now, and I was pastoring there, that went on that marriage retreat. So, man, I started praying and fasting and seeking God's face, because we had a few marriages in the church that was going through some hard times. They were faithful to come to the house of God, but a pastor knows things that other people don't know, and other people don't really need to know. But I knew there was some problems going on. And so I stepped out on a limb, man, and I done a marriage retreat. This pastor was good enough to share a lot of that material with me. Let me use it. But I remember a thing that I read that came from a very reliable resource, and I believe it. I believe it to be 100% truth. When he met with his people, before they went, he met with a husband and a wife in his office that was getting ready to split, go separate ways. And this wise old pastor took a piece of paper, laid it down in front of that man, and he said, write the top four things about your wife that you don't like. And he said, you leave space underneath each one of them for her to reply. This is what he wrote. The first thing he wrote was, she doesn't cook as much as she used to. Now, men, don't make any facial movements at all. Don't even flinch. And for Lord's sake, don't say amen, because you do have to ride home with her tonight. But that's what he wrote. He gave her space to respond. The second thing he wrote on that paper was, she always leaves the car on empty. Don't look like that. Just listen. And the third thing he wrote, was, she talks on the phone to her mama too much. I done this to the group that I took. I read them this. I read them this at the retreat. And then the last one was the kill shot. He said, she's gained too much weight. Now, she hadn't seen anything that he's written. She hadn't seen it. And the preacher took it, looked at it, turned it around, and gave it to her. She looked at him. She wiped a tear. And under where he put, she doesn't cook much anymore, she responded, was, but I love you. Are you listening to me? She read where he wrote down, she always leaves the car on empty. Her response, but I love you. Talks on the phone too much to her mother. Her response was simply, but I love you. And where he had wrote, she's gained too much weight, her reply was, but I love you. The preacher read her responses and turned it around and gave it back to him. Oh yeah. And his eyes began to fill with tears. And there was a marriage that was put back together that day. And it was from that meeting right there that he decided to take the whole church on a marriage retreat. Isn't that something? What I don't understand is, why would the God of the universe, why would the star breather waste his time with men that never pray? Why would he waste his time on church people that never read their Bible, that are always running on spiritual empty? I'm talking about me too. Why would he waste his time on people that run their mouth too much? Why would he waste his time? You know what his response would be under each one of them? But I love you. Yeah, you try dealing with a God like that. The more bad stuff you tell him about yourself, he already knows it. His response every time. This is the response you're going to get from the star breather. But I love you. Brother, I read where a guy wrote in one of his books, he said God created man because he was lonely. And I thought, good night. Are you kidding me? How could the creator of the universe be lonely? He created man to be the object of his love. That's why he created man. Everything you see out there is the creator creating for the man that he died for. He wasn't lonely. Are you kidding me? Man is the object of God's love. Now here's the thing tonight. Look here. I'm closing my Bible. See that? Look. You know when a preacher closes his Bible, he's done. He can't preach no more. Now, you can't even see his outline or his notes or nothing. You know, call the dogs off, a hunt's over. The Lord has torn me up with this message. And maybe it's because I've got a nephew, 48 years old, Jamie Lee. That's Roger and Shelley Lee's son. He's over in UT Hospital. And if the Lord doesn't intervene, it's not going to be a good outcome. They're trying to get him on a transplant list and get him down to Vanderbilt. And this family is going through a horrible time. Jamie's only 2 years older than my son. I've put myself in their place. Man, I just, only by the grace of God would I be able to keep my sanity. There's people here tonight that's going through things that nobody else probably even knows about. Man, you walk in here with burdens that probably nobody even knows about. There's young people that's in here thinking, man, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. It's going to be the same old thing. Nobody cares. Listen to me. The one that hung the moon and the stars and breathed out the stars is wanting to do business with you tonight. Amen. Preacher, you don't know how broken my heart is. Oh, no, but he does. He does. And he'll do business with you tonight. Amen. He'll do business with you. I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord sent this message for a reason. And I already had this message when I sat Friday morning and Saturday morning and looked at that harvest moon. And the Lord had already given me this message. And them little bitty hairs started standing up on my arm. And I thought, my goodness, what a good time to pray. Boy, I did. I prayed. I mean, my goodness, because I kept saying, he's listening to me. The one that hung that big orb up in the sky is listening to this little speck of dust. He said, does he care about my broken heart? Try him. Does he care what I'm going through, preacher? Try him. Man. Boy, I love him, preacher. Boy, I love him so much, do you? Show him how much you love him by loving each other. Amen. That's the test. My Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of the blessed, righteous, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You've blessed me with this, especially Friday morning, Saturday morning. My Father, I was a basket case. Lord, I know in my soul, I like to pray in the dark, even if it's in the daytime. I like to pray in the dark, get in the closet, turn the lights out, pile a bunch of clothes on top of me. I just like to be in the dark. My Father, it's such a blessing. I'm blown away by it. But to think that the one that hung the moon and the stars and just flung it out into space is mindful of a little speck of dust that has a burden on his heart. I love you. I love you with all of my heart. My Father, if you've spoken to anyone, if you've spoken to anyone at all tonight, I pray that they would move and come and do business with you, Lord. Maybe they just want to come and thank you. Whatever it may be, I pray they would move on the very first verse of the song. I ask it in Jesus' name. For his sweet sake, I pray. Amen. Amen.
Page 81, church hymnal. 81, church hymnal.